and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Former President Trump heads into Super Tuesday with a Supreme Court victory under his belt. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Thank you very much.
Former President Donald Trump is praising the Supreme Court for its unanimous decision to restore his name to all 2024 presidential primary ballots.
I think it will go a long way toward bringing our country together.
Voters in Colorado had tried to remove Trump from their state's ballot. They argued an insurrection clause in the Constitution's 14th Amendment disqualified him from holding office because of his attempts to undo his 2020 election loss.
CBS News has projected Donald Trump winning the Republican caucuses in North Dakota, where there are 29 delegates at stake. CBS's Carter Evans has the latest on cleanup in parts of California and Nevada after a blizzard dumped more than 7 feet of snow on the region over the weekend.
The California Highway Patrol tells me they've now got all the cars off of Interstate 80, and it is partially open right now. They're able to get cars through, not necessarily trucks. They hope to have it open to everyone, possibly by tomorrow.
Federal regulators say they found problems with an audit of Boeing. CBS's Matt Piper.
The FAA says its audit into Boeing and Spirit AeroSystems of the 737 MAX finds multiple instances where both allegedly failed to comply with manufacturing quality control requirements. The agency says it also found noncompliance issues with Boeing's parts handling and storage.
The FAA says Boeing must address the findings within 3 months. Despite reports of a framework deal for a six-week pause in Gaza fighting that the White House is pushing for, Israel has yet to send a delegation to Cairo, where negotiations with Hamas are set to take place. Today, Vice President Harris and others met with Israeli War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz, who last month threatened that Israel could soon invade the city of Rafah. CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb reports from Israel.
The Biden administration ordered three C-130 aircrafts to airdrop 38,000 meals in coordination with U.S. ally Jordan, a move aid agencies have criticized as inefficient and will do little to alleviate the suffering.
Oregon is about to reverse its closely watched experiment dealing with hard drugs. CBS's Jim Krasula explains.
Oregon's governor is now considering a bill to reverse the most liberal drug law in the country. Residents voted in November of 2020 to decriminalize small amounts of hard drugs. Opponents of the law say it needs to be reversed because of Oregon's worsening drug problem.
Philadelphia Eagles center Jason Kelce has officially retired from the NFL. The 36-year-old has played 13 seasons for the Eagles and won a Super Bowl. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin taxpayers with kids are getting a tax break. Governor Evers is enacting a bipartisan bill to expand child and dependent care tax credits from 50% of the federal credit to 100%. The total tax relief should add up to $73 million a year. On Friday, Evers vetoed three Republican tax cut bills. Suburban women in Wisconsin have a lot to say about who wins the race for president. That's why First Lady Jill Biden was in Waukesha Sunday talking about reproductive rights.
We are the first generation, and I think someone said this, in a half a century, to give our daughters a country with fewer rights than we all had.
Vice President Kamala Harris plans to be in Madison on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Pack is back from the Combine. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers front office back from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. GM Brian Gutekunst, CEO Mark Murphy, and special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia were there. A report says the team's still trying to restructure Aaron Jones' contract, but that running back A.J. Dillon will not return and is likely headed to free agency. Badgers running back Braylon Allen was there. I asked him how his interview with the Packers went.
It went very well. I enjoyed talking with them. I liked everybody on the staff. It was a really good meeting. Just broke down to some film. They asked me some, you know, kind of football IQ questions about fronts, pressures, different defenses, things like that.
Baseball spring training, the Brewers with a 10-4 win over the Diamondbacks. NBA, despite a loss to the Nuggets, the Lakers' LeBron James becoming the first player ever to reach 40,000 career points. The Bucks spent Sunday working on their defense, their first practice at home in over a month.
We managed to figure everything out eventually.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong this evening. Breezy with a low in the upper 30s. Tomorrow starts off cloudy with some sunshine for the afternoon and still kind of breezy. Highs to the mid-40s. And lots of sunshine for Wednesday. Highs again mid-40s. Currently 40 degrees.
And sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
FUSA.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, happy Monday. It's the beginning of a brand new week. Hello? Everything okay, Sean? Okay, good. Happy, I saw this look on her face. It was like, happy Monday. It's a brand new week here, and we got a lot going on. The Supreme Court just ruled that Donald Trump can stay on the ballot. I have some thoughts on that. Alan Weisselberg, Donald Trump's right-hand man, the guy who basically ran his organization for years and years and years, has just pleaded guilty to perjury. In other words, he lied on behalf of Donald Trump, supporting Trump's lies to the government. That's getting almost no coverage. Can you imagine if Joe Biden's lawyer had pleaded guilty and was going to spend the next 6 months in Rikers Island in prison, in jail, because he had lied on behalf of Joe Biden? There'd be a national meltdown. But, you know, it's kind of a, you know, it's an anecdote. We just expect this of Trump and the people around him. They lied. No big deal. Republicans don't care. It's insane. Anyhow, so that's going on. My old buddy Jim Turr noted this morning, he said, Trumpsters will point out that we voters should decide whether Trump is on the ballot, disregarding what the Constitution says. But they have no hesitation saying that Obama was an illegitimate president because he was born outside the United States because the Constitution says a president must be native born. Right, exactly. All righty. Will the new illustrious dunderheads lead us into World War II? I want to get into that in a minute. Also, of course, the Supreme Court shooting down the Colorado bid to keep Trump off the ballot is, they're saying Joe Biden is too old to be president. How about Donald Trump? And I'm not talking about age. We'll get into that also this morning in this first hour. And crazy alert, Donald Trump rages at Fannie Willis's escapades. Could there be anything more embarrassing to America than a president convicted of rape and boasting about grabbing women by the crotch? I mean, it's just, we'll get to that also, this crazy alert. Tennessee, banning pride flags in schools should be a huge concern. In our second hour, we'll talk about that. And the University of Florida terminating all diversity, equity, and inclusion positions. Why? Because that's what DeSantis wants, and that's what the fascists want. Also, Saudis are cutting oil production to raise oil prices in advance of the election to help Donald Trump. In the third hour of our program, our single guest for the day, Barbara McQuaid, you see her regularly on MSNBC. She's got a new book out, The Attack from Within. She's going to drop by and talk with us about her book. And is Viktor Orban's visit to Mar-a-Lago a cause for concern? You betcha. So, I'm going to do the illustrious dunderheads in just a minute, but I want to start out with what the Supreme Court just said, because it's actually quite interesting. The Supreme Court made, according to the three liberals on the court and Amy Coney Barrett, I mean, she didn't specifically object, Barrett, but she didn't join the other five right-wing crackpots on the court in making this argument. Basically, what they said is that the 14th Amendment is all well and good.
Where the Section 3 says that you can't serve in political office if you've participated in an insurrection or given aid and comfort thereof. But it only counts at the federal level if Congress passes legislation or passes legislation. Those were the words in this decision saying so, which is really interesting because Congress never passed legislation enforcing the 22nd Amendment. The 22nd Amendment was passed in 1951 because Republicans were all freaked out that Franklin Roosevelt had served four terms. It says a president can only serve two terms. Well, Congress never passed legislation enforcing the 22nd Amendment, which means, according to the logic of today's decision, that Barack Obama could run for president again. Let that sink in. According to today's decision, Article 2, Section 1, Article 2 of the Constitution says the president has to be a natural-born citizen. Congress has never passed legislation enforcing that, which means that, Cenk Uygur, who's running for the Democratic nomination right now, who was born in Turkey, I believe, could run for president or could hold the office. I mean, in fact, I think Cenk is challenging this. And here's where it gets really weird. This is from national security attorney, Brad Moss. He says, so under this court's analysis, if Trump wins but Democrats take the House and hold the Senate, Congress can invalidate Trump's victory and throw us into chaos. Oh, goody. He said it places the burden on federal district attorneys, because there has to be, this federal prosecution of Trump. It places the burden on federal district attorneys who are appointed by the incumbent president to somehow initiate a civil action against the incumbent president for holding office in violation of Section 3. This way madness lies. And Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson all agreed. All three of these, the progressive women on the Supreme Court said, we concur on grounds the court goes too far in deciding, the court goes too far in deciding future possible cases. And Amy Coney Barrett similarly said that the court shouldn't opine that federal legislation is the only way to enforce Section 3. So she wanted to leave it to the courts, or apparently. But, and not only that, Clarence Thomas sat on this case. Clarence Thomas, whose wife was participating in the insurrection. This court has just lost all credibility. All right, my op-ed today over at HartmanReport.com is titled, Will the New Illustrious Dunderheads Lead Us Into World War III? And for my 30th birthday, my father, who was a book collector, he had 20,000 books in our basement. In fact, when I was around 10 or 11 years old, I carved out a corner of the basement to have a bedroom because there were four of us, four boys in our family, and we lived in a three-bedroom house, which meant that the two kids' bedrooms were both bunk beds, and I wanted to get away from my brother and have some privacy. And so I carved out this bedroom in the basement out of bookshelves, my dad's bookshelves. And anyhow, for my 30th birthday, he gave me a book called The Illustrious Dunderheads by Rex Stout. Rex Stout was the number one best-selling author in America in 1942. His detective series about Nero Wolfe, the Nero Wolfe detective series, had sold over 70 million copies in 1942 when he published The Illustrious Dunderheads. And The Illustrious Dunderheads contains several, I don't know if it's several hundred, but probably in the neighborhood of about 100 speeches, almost all by Republicans. There were a couple of Dixiecrats, but virtually all Republicans, saying things like this. This is from Tennessee Republican Representative John Jennings on July 14, 1940. Our enemies, the administration keeps telling the people, are Germany, Italy, and Japan. Now, one of them, though, has made a gesture toward us. For all we think and feel about Hitler, he's not attacked us. But the American government has attacked Hitler, first by words, then by measures short of war, then by giving pledge to his enemies to assist them by all physical means to the utmost. Sound like an echo of J.D. Vance, for example, saying, we shouldn't give any aid to Ukraine. Michigan Republican Representative Paul Schaefer, May 16, 1941. I know of no member of this House, Mr. Speaker, who possesses the remotest idea that any of Hitler's panzer divisions are to strike in the desert of Arizona or on the sand stretches of the Mojave. How long are the American people going to be fed this stuff? So last week, Marjorie Taylor Greene echoed those comments. She told reporters and then posted on Facebook, X, and Instagram, quote, "I wish the CIA cared about our own border security like they care about Ukraine's. I will not vote to fund the CIA's war with Russia, and the rest of my Republican colleagues should do the same. The U.S. Congress needs to focus and fix our own nation's problems." Right. Deja vu much? Back in 1940, Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Robert Rich told Congress, "Who's afraid of Hitler? He's not coming 3,000 miles across the Atlantic. He's not going to attack this country. We ought to have somebody in the White House who's friendly to all the people in the world if we want to be a good neighbor. Mr. Roosevelt has lost the confidence of most European nations." Right. And then 3 weeks ago, Putin-loving Senator J.D. Vance said at the Munich Security Conference, where in a shocking display of cowardice, he refused to meet with President Zelensky. He said, "The problem with Ukraine is there's no clear endpoint. Can we send the level of weaponry we've sent for the last 18 months? We simply cannot. No matter how many checks the U.S. Congress writes, we're limited there. I think what's reasonable to accomplish is some negotiated peace." In that, he was quoting Republican congressman from Minnesota, Joseph O'Hara, in 1940, who said, "Anyone in this country will admit that the best chance of saving both England and some democracy in the world is for the United States to back England at the proper moment in a negotiated peace. There are times when there is only a choice of evils, and today the evil of accepting the fact of Nazi domination of continental Europe and England is less than the evil which is likely to result from encouraging England to continue indefinitely a hopeless fight until English liberties are destroyed either from without or from within." That was October 23rd, 1941. So here we've got now Republicans, Ron Johnson, "I don't think we should be sending more lethal aid to Ukraine." Ted Cruz, "I think it's a mistake to be sending billions of dollars in weapons to Ukraine." Josh Hawley, I'm not sure that sending more weapons is the answer. Marsha Blackburn, Republican senator, "We need to have a clear understanding what the end game is." Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz, "I don't think we should be sending more weapons to Ukraine." Republican Senator Rick Scott, "We need to have a plan, and I don't see a plan yet." Republican Senator Mike Lee, "I'm not sure that sending more weapons is the answer." And it just goes on and on. I mean, you know, I've got a whole list of them here. So this is, you know, we're in this moment that is so characteristic, so identical to what was happening in the 1940s, in the early 1940s, before the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Rex Stout, 1942, he said, "The American system of government itself is thus, according to the Nazi plan, made suspect in the eyes of its people. To underline the implications of the attacks on Roosevelt and the administration, Nazi fascist propagandists, and of course Republicans, suggest that the system of government itself is wasteful, incapable of decisive action in the world today. The United States is pictured as bankrupt, torn apart by financial chaos, its people pauperized, its activities paralyzed. The United States, Republicans say, is a vast concentration camp ground under the heels of Roosevelt tyranny, maintaining the Axis radios. The conclusion the Nazi fascists want the American people to reach is that the U.S. government and business system have broken down and must be replaced by a more efficient system." This is what Trump is saying. Rex Stout goes on to say, "It is the groundwork for the appeal to the American people to take their government back from those who have betrayed them." 1942, he was writing this. He said the Republicans are saying that the real enemy is within our own borders. This is the logical conclusion of the Nazi effort to convince Americans that the nation is torn apart by class warfare. And he goes on from there. I encourage you to read it. It's fairly shocking. I mean, the quotes from 1940 and 41, before Pearl Harbor, all Republicans in Congress saying, "We love Hitler. Hitler's not going to attack us. Just let Hitler have England," are virtually identical to what Republicans in Congress right now are saying about Ukraine and Russia, the new fascist threat.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
18 minutes past the hour. I'll be back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a minute.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Some volunteers want to bring the first indoor ice center to Racine County. A study shows there's already interest in more than one rink. Here's Mark Hertzberg.
Probably start with one sheet for now. Build it with a footprint for two, the mechanicals for two.
Two-thirds of the $13 million needed to build the ice center will be raised privately, but in partnership with the county.
And we have a memorandum of understanding with the county where the county would bond $5 million. We have self-upped our ante to $10 million. We've pledged to raise $10 million.
Those behind the project say ice skating, hockey, and broom ball are all good activities and for all ages. Find more information at racineicecenter.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
This is Don Rosen. We're talking to local guests with lifestyle and important information for you. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio, refreshed.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on WRJN 1400 AM 99.9 FM in Racine, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
The Todd Alma Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. When I first fed my dogs Blue and Chewy, Nature's Blend from Dr. Marty, I knew they'd love it. I mean, after all, it's a freeze-dried raw dog food that's full of real turkey, beef, salmon, and duck. What's not to love? But I was totally surprised by how much healthier and happier they seemed after we made the switch. You can see it in their coats. You can see it in the way that they play and the way that they walk. The ingredients in Nature's Blend are that wholesome. Plus, I love that it doesn't contain any artificial preservatives, how it's dry to the touch so there's no mess, and now it's shelf-stable, so I don't need to keep it in the fridge. I know you'll love how convenient and healthy Nature's Blend is for your dog. And I can get you up to 54% off your first Nature's Blend order, plus a free bag of premium beef liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. It's drmartypets.com/Tom. That's drmartypets.com/THOM. Check it out.
So just to go back to the Supreme Court thing, five members announced that disqualification can only happen with congressional legislation. Three judges said no, but now we're here. Judge Michael Luttig said the words "remove such disability" confirms that the candidate is currently disqualified. In other words, everybody's interpreting this absolutely backwards. But nonetheless, this is what happened. So what do we do now? Well, in my opinion, what has to happen now is that Jack Smith has to indict Donald Trump for insurrection. And then, well, even if he did and Donald Trump was convicted in a court of law, would the Supreme Court still say, well, no, it's got to be Congress? I guess so. In fact, that's why the three liberals and Amy Coney Barrett, four out of the nine, said, wait a minute, you guys went too far when you said that there has to be congressional action. And I completely agree. All righty, the top story in the New York Times yesterday, literally the top story, was a headline, "Majority of Biden 2020 voters now say he's too old to be effective," poll finds. This is from the article. A sizable share was even more worried. 19% of those who voted for Biden in 2020, 13% who said they would back him in November, said the 81-year-old president's age was such a problem that he's no longer capable of handling the job. There's been a lot of criticism of this poll, but my thought, over on Democratic Underground, Earl G., who is one of the administrators, one of the owners of the website, good guy. I had lunch with him back when we lived in D.C. Earl G. posted this thing on the subject of Joe Biden too old to be president. He just asked some questions, which I think are really trenchant. He said, and why isn't the media talking about it in this context? They talk about Joe Biden being too old to be president. Is Donald Trump too much of a rapist to be president? Serious question. Did Donald Trump pay too much hush money to a porn star to be president? Is $130,000 too much? Did Donald Trump steal too many classified documents to be president? You know, he stole over 1,000 classified documents. Did Donald Trump personally pocket too much money, $8 million, from foreign governments to be president? Did Donald Trump's attempt to overthrow the government in a failed violent coup, did he do that too much to be president? Did Donald Trump's actions cause too many police officers to die to become president? Why don't we talk about these things? It's like, oh, Joe Biden's too old to be president. Well, Donald Trump is too much of a rapist to be president. He's too much of a criminal. His right-hand man, Alan Weisselberg, this morning pleaded guilty to lying with and for Donald Trump. Is he too much of a criminal to be president? Why doesn't the New York Times ask that? I'll be back with your thoughts on all this right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's talk media for the sane among us. I'll be right back with your calls.
Ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you. We promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court says former President Trump's name can stay on the Colorado ballot, ending state challenges to his candidacy. Trump, not surprisingly, agreed.
You cannot take somebody out of a race. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly, but a court shouldn't be doing that, and the Supreme Court saw that very well.
Parts of Northern California are buried under snow. CBS's Carter Evans is in the town of Truckee.
We got 4 feet of snow here, and there was some wind blowing it all around, so we got drifts higher than I am. We got piles of snow 25 feet where they've been doing snow removal. They were doing snow removal throughout the storm.
U.S. airdrops of aid into Gaza shouldn't be the primary way aid gets to Palestinians, says State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
This airdrop was the first in a series the Department of Defense will be conducting. But I want to be clear about one thing. These airdrops are intended to supplement, not replace, aid through other mechanisms.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two of Donald Trump's lawyers who helped lead Wisconsin's false elector scheme have settled a civil lawsuit against them. Lawyers Kenneth Chesbro and Jim Troupas will have to turn over 1,400 pages of documents, emails, and texts detailing how they came up with the plan. The 10 Republicans who posed as false electors settled in December. Neither Chesbro nor Troupas have to admit any wrongdoing in the settlement, though Troupas will have to pay an undisclosed amount to the plaintiffs in the case. Republican State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere is running for Congress. Jacques is running for Wisconsin's 8th congressional seat, which is being vacated by Congressman Mike Gallagher. He's the second Republican to announce their candidacy for the seat alongside former State Senator Roger Roth. No Democrats have announced yet their intention to run. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Now, we tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong this evening. Breezy with a low in the upper 30s. Tomorrow starts off cloudy with some sunshine for the afternoon and still kind of breezy. Highs to the mid-40s. And lots of sunshine for Wednesday. Highs again mid-40s. Currently 40 degrees.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News, talk, and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out. Welcome back. Let's pick up your calls here and see what's on your mind today. This beautiful Monday. Well, it's not so beautiful here in Portland, but hey, we're all alive, right? That counts for something. Harlan in Minneapolis. Hey, Harlan, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to comment on Mike Johnson, Putin, and the Bible. Johnson has called for using the Bible as his main source for governing as speaker.
Right. And replace the Constitution with the Bible. Replace the Constitution with the Bible.
Yes, indeed. In the Bible that most fundamentalists revere is the King James Version of, in English. Mm-hmm. And the Christian nationalists should realize that the consequences of supporting Putin's ambitions is to become autocratic ruler of a world dominated by Russia and everything Russian. And in this, his fantasy empire, the Russian Orthodox Church would control the theocracy as a supreme moral authority and officially sanction the ultimate sacred scripture, the King Putin version of the Bible in Russian.
The King Putin version. So what's the point?
The point is just that the radical religious views that people hold in order to maintain control in this country would be overwhelmed by Putin's views and his rule.
I think it's important to point out, too, that, you know, Mike Johnson is basically, I mean, he's a Christian nationalist and not ashamed of it, that, you know, he wants religion to play a major role in legislation and governance and courts and everything else. And so does Putin. Putin has declared Russia as a Christian nation, and he's using that as an excuse to go after the queer community. He's using that as an excuse for just all kinds of god-awful things. And you know, if we were to do the same thing in America like Mike Johnson wants, then, you know, we'd be going down that same road. Good point, Harlan. Thank you. Arthur in Chicago. Hey, Arthur, what's on your mind today?
Oh, Tom, you coming in hot on a Monday morning, man.
Your
screener, you better get ready with the fire extinguisher because you're going to burst into flames like Jack up on the Incredibles, man. But your analogy of the politicians back in late 1930s and early 1940s, whatever, before we got involved in the war, that was very informative.
Oh, you should read the article because it's got a lot more stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was very good. That's very good. Now, a lot of these politicians, the Republican politicians, I would like to know the history of their service as far as military service, personal and family history when it comes to serving this country. I bet it's deplorable.
It would be interesting to know what
engineer in World War II.
Yeah, what percentage of Democrats versus Republicans served in the military? I mean, there's a lot of Democrats that, you know, Tammy Baldwin immediately comes to mind. Tammy Duckworth, who mm-hmm. lost her legs in a helicopter. Her helicopter was shot.
I'm from Illinois. I'm very familiar with it. I vote for her all the time.
Yeah. There's
for the veterans' causes.
Yeah, there's a lot of Alexander Vindman now is running for Congress. I mean, there's a lot of veterans who very proudly are Republicans or Democrats. Excuse me. The only Republican. Well, I'm sure there's lots of Republican veterans. That's why I said I'd love to know the percentage, but. What's his name from Grand Rapids, Michigan, who got kicked out?
I'm referring to all the Republican propagandists for Putin. That's what I'm referring to.
Oh, you mean the Tucker Carlsons and Donald Trumps and
all those guys you mentioned. Yeah,
I don't think any of them served.
Let me get to my question quick before so you can get to the next caller. What is the history of Ukraine when it comes to them giving up their nukes? I heard they had nukes for a while.
Yeah. Ukraine had more nuclear weapons than any country in the world when the Soviet Union fell apart. And the reason why was because Russia didn't want the nukes on Russian land because the nukes become targets for American nukes. And, you know, there's also the possibility of mistakes. I mean, it was sort of like the same reason that Hitler didn't have one single death camp inside Germany. You know, Belsen, and Auschwitz. Auschwitz was in Poland. Belsen was in Holland, as I recall. They were all outside of Germany. And so Stalin had put the nuclear, and Khrushchev had put their nuclear weapons in mostly in Ukraine. And Ukraine had hundreds, maybe 1,000, I don't know, but they had a crap load of nuclear weapons.
What was our relationship with Ukraine back then?
It was good. I mean, you know, Ukraine had come out of the Soviet Union, and they were an independent country. And I mean, there was problems, and it was corrupt and all that. But in 1994, there was a conference with the United States, England, Russia, and Ukraine. And what we all wanted to do, all four countries, was for Ukraine to give up their nuclear weapons and Russia to take those nuclear weapons and take responsibility for them, transport them into Russian territory. In exchange for that, Ukraine was given a few billion dollars, and they were given the promise, and this was written down and signed by all four countries, the United States, England, Russia, and Ukraine. It's called the Budapest Memorandum in 1994. And if you put my name and Budapest Memorandum into a search engine, you'll find several articles that I wrote about this with all the details and hot links to it and everything. And that Budapest Memorandum said that we would, all four countries, or all three countries and, you know, outside of Ukraine, we would all not only respect Ukraine's borders, but help, you know, protect Ukraine's borders, essentially. And, of course, you know, Russia is and just has been since 2014 when they invaded Ukraine, Crimea. They have been in just wild-ass violation of that.
Right, so. Right. If they still had some of those nukes, or maybe gave back most of them, if they had nukes, Russia would have never took Crimea. They would have never chanced it.
I agree. And sadly, that's the lesson that countries all around the world are realizing, which is why Saudi Arabia is trying to build nukes now.
Including North Korea.
Yeah.
I don't like dictators, just like you don't. I don't like fascism, because I'm a black man here in America, and I know some history, nowhere near as much as you, and say Paul from Seattle. Y'all very professorial, and you know, and really got all the details, or you know how to research is much better than I do. But I think Mr. Kim Jong Un, or whatever his name is, if I maybe pronounce it wrong.
No, you got it right.
He's taking notes. He's taking notes, Tom. Don't give up those nukes. Don't use them. Don't use them. Don't you dare fire one into Seoul or Japan, because you would be vaporized. You and your people would cease to exist, and you'd start World War III. But do not give up your nukes, because you see what happens when you do.
Yep, and Iran has learned that lesson now, too.
I hate to side with them on that, but I'm sorry to side with them on that, but do not use them. But they are a deterrent.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And this is why Iran is building their nukes. It's why Saudi Arabia cut a deal with Trump to get a nuclear reactor so that they could start building nukes.
That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, there you go. Arthur, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Excellent points all. Thank you so much. Gus in Chicago. Hey, Gus, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Tom. It's actually a nice 71 degrees out here, no sunlight.
Oh, that's great. I saw it was 74 degrees in Minneapolis yesterday. It was like, whoa, I want that.
Yeah, global warming will kick us in the butt later, but I'll take it now.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to talk about the court ruling, because I am an election judge and have worked as an election official since the age of 16. Mm-hmm. And I find it a bit rich that states' rights matter if I was a landlord and wanted to not have a gay person or Muslim person rent in my apartment building. States' rights matter if I was somebody that didn't want my 10-year-old nephew to take a Stephen King novel out, or my preschool-age niece read Heather Has Two Mommies so they could ban the books. That's my state's rights. But when we're talking about something that actually matters, a.k.a. the democratic process and how elections are done, apparently the feds get to say that one state does not have the right to ban a candidate known for criminality. So my question is, why doesn't the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, just nationalize the election process and don't have states like Illinois, Colorado, Wisconsin, and the individual counties and cities have election boards, just have Uncle Sam take over the whole dang thing? Because it makes no sense, because what's the point in a state carrying 90% of the responsibility for an election, yet we don't have the right to pick and choose what candidate.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't do that because the Constitution basically gives the states responsibility for elections. I mean, it was an attempt to keep power as local as possible, which, you know, was probably a good idea for a long time. But the in the dissent from Kagan, Sotomayor, and Jackson, they write, and I quote, "Although only an individual state's action is at issue here, the majority opines on which federal actors can enforce Section 3 and how they must do so. The majority announces that a disqualification for insurrection can occur only when Congress enacts a particular type of legislation pursuant to Section 5 of the 14th Amendment. In doing so, the majority shuts the door on other potential means of federal enforcement." Now, let me tell you what that means. If Jack Smith was to indict Donald Trump for insurrection, and you know, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment clearly says if you're an insurrectionist, you can't serve. If he was to indict Donald Trump, get him into a court of law, the court of law says yes, he's an insurrectionist, and he's convicted, he still can't be removed from the ballot because of this ruling today, because 5 of the 9 justices said you can only remove him through congressional action. They close the door to any kind of court action. And that's insane. That's why the 3 liberal justices and arguably Amy Coney Barrett essentially dissented from that and said, no, you know, we shouldn't have said this. But this is now the law of the land, that even if a president or any candidate anywhere in the country, actually, for federal office, is even convicted in a court of law of insurrection, they cannot be removed from the ballot. And that's just
wrong.
Then
what was the point of the U.S. House of Representatives impeaching him? It makes a
good point, Gus. They already found him guilty of insurrection, you know, arguably in that impeachment, although he was not convicted in the Senate. Gus, I got to run. Thank you for the call.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
See, if Mitch McConnell had allowed him to be convicted in the Senate, then he would not be able to serve because, you know, it clearly says that, you know, once you've been impeached, you can't serve.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your trouble.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM, 99.1 FM, WRJN.
When I first fed my dogs Blue and Chewy, Nature's Blend from Dr. Marty, I knew they would love it. After all, it's freeze-dried raw dog food that's full of real turkey, beef, salmon, and duck. What's not to love? But I was totally surprised by how much healthier and happier my dogs seemed after we made the switch. The biggest change for Blue and Chewy was that they went from a few extra pounds to being more fit, and we could tell that they look better and they feel better. The ingredients in Nature's Blend are that wholesome. Plus, I love it that it doesn't contain any artificial preservatives, how it's dry to the touch so there's no mess, and how it's shelf-stable so I don't need to keep it in the fridge. I know you'll love how convenient and healthy Nature's Blend is for your dog. My listeners can get up to 54% off the first Nature's Blend order, plus a free bag of premium beef liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom to 511-511. Text THOM to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
When it comes to shopping for jewelry in Racine, your journey begins at Rasmus & Diamonds. For over 120 years, Rasmus & Diamonds has been an active member of the Racine business landscape and are proud to have remained family-owned and operated since 1900. From engagement and wedding rings to designer jewelry, repairs and appraisals and jewelry education, Rasmus & Diamonds looks forward to serving you with the highest quality. Rasmus & Diamonds, 6220 Washington Avenue, Racine.
This is Don Rosen. You know, it's great to be welcomed back to WRJN to super serve the folks in the Racine and surrounding areas every morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio refreshed.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? the answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Some volunteers want to bring the first indoor ice center to Racine County. A study shows there's already interest in more than one rink. Here's Mark Hertzberg.
Probably start with one sheet for now. Build it with a footprint for two, the mechanicals for two.
Two-thirds of the $13 million needed to build the ice center will be raised privately, but in partnership with the county.
And we have a memorandum of understanding with the county where the county would bond $5 million. We have self-upped our ante to $10 million. We've pledged to raise $10 million.
Those behind the project say ice skating, hockey, and broom ball are all good activities and for all ages. Find more information at RacineIceCenter.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. I really do try to live with a heart-healthy diet and good exercise routine, but I also love Superbeats Heart Chews, and I can get daily blood pressure support with just two tasty chews a day. Paired with a healthy lifestyle, the antioxidants in Superbeats are clinically shown to be nearly two times more effective at promoting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. I know I'm doing something good for myself every day with Superbeats Heart Chews, and I've been taking them for years. I keep them by the bed so I can see them and not forget to take them every night. They're so convenient. I love that. Superbeats Heart Chews are effective and clinically studied. From Superbeat, the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended Beat brand for cardiovascular health support. A convenient way to support healthy blood pressure. No pills to swallow, no ingredients to mix or prepare. Plus, they're plant-based with no artificial sweeteners or colors. Double your potential with Superbeats Heart Chews. Get a free month's supply of Superbeats Heart Chews on all bundles and a free full-size bag of turmeric chews valued at $25 with your order by going to TomLovesBeats.com. T-H-O-M loves B-E-E-T-S.com. Get this exclusive offer only at TomLovesBeats.com. 9 minutes before the hour, picking up your call. Oh, by the way, I've got a crazy alert for you here, just real quickly. Sexcapades! Donald Trump raging about Fannie Willis in court. An attorney for Trump's co-defendant Robert Cheely likened Willis and special prosecutor Nathan Wade to love-struck teenagers who called and texted each other thousands of times during their relationship. Is that a bad thing? I mean, you know, this is how human beings behave, right? Anyhow, Trump goes to Truth Social. Where did Fannie get all that cash? Right, she's a black woman. She's not supposed to have money. And the fact is, there was no cash paid. There was just an excuse she made up after she got caught, Trump says. Yeah, right. And Scott McAfee, you know, the white Republican, former president of the Federalist Society and the University of Georgia, is in a week or two, in 2 weeks, I guess, is going to tell us what's going to go on with this. But this is just bizarre. It's just bizarre. And Trump is just delighting in, oh, my God, look at that. They're taking down a black woman. Joe in Chicago. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind today?
Yes, I just wanted to observe that the Supreme Court's predictable rulings show that our Justice Department, Smith and Garland, and Biden's office is just not prepared to respond to these predictable rumors. Today, there should be a very clear statement where Biden says the Supreme Court has made it their ruling that an individual state cannot prevent a presidential candidate from running, no matter what that candidate may have done in the past. Meanwhile, they'd say nothing about how the Republicans are doing everything they can to allow states to invalidate their votes after the election so that the elected president doesn't have enough Electoral College votes to become president.
Correct. Yeah, this was a big piece in the New York Times yesterday that got no coverage in the media, that all across the United States, these groups have sprung up in 7 or 8 or 9 swing states, and they are right now purging people from the voting rolls and doing it very, very aggressively.
Correct. So they should have a strong statement stating how we need national federal election laws that prevent states from disempowering the voters.
I completely agree. And in fact, I would argue that we did that in 1993 or 94 when we passed the Motor Voter Act. And the problem is that, you know, it's never been certified by the courts. I mean, the Motor Voter Act says voting is a right. It says it twice. It says it in the preamble. It says it in the body of the law itself. But it has never been adjudicated. So, you know, technically, we do not have a right to vote. In fact, in the Bush v. Gore decision in 2000, Justice Rehnquist, in his decision saying that, you know, George W. Bush was going to become president, he said there is no right to vote for president of the United States in the Constitution. He was correct, but, you know, that's the case. But I think Congress has established that right. I think they did it with the Motor Voter Act, but the Supreme Court has not recognized it. In fact, if anything, they've ignored it, John, Joe. So, yeah, spot on. George in Pittsburgh. Hey, George, what's on your mind today? George in Pittsburgh, watching Free Speech TV, going once, going twice. Gar in Atlanta. Hey, Gar, what's on your mind today?
Tom, I wonder what happened to common sense.
Yeah.
That's what I've been wondering.
Damn good question, Gar.
I mean, from day one, you remember that interview with Rona Barrett? From day one. And she asked Trump if he would ever run for office. And he said he would as a Republican because they are stupid and believe whatever Fox News tell them.
Yep.
And I'll do terrific. Yep. When was the last time you heard that clip?
I think that assertion was debunked. I don't think Trump actually said that, Gar.
I've seen it with my own eyes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, if you can find it and tweet it at me, I'd love to see it because I have not seen it.
Well, I've seen it with my own eyes. He said Republicans are stupid.
Yeah.
And another thing, another common sense. If you or I had 91 indictments, you and I was charged with rape, you and I had run a fake university, you and I went bankrupt 6 times, we couldn't get a job at McDonald's.
You're right. And imagine if Biden had done even one of those things.
Yeah. We couldn't even get a job at Walmart. We couldn't even do flipping burgers.
Yep.
I mean, where's the common sense?
Yep.
It's not common anymore.
No, it's
not. I couldn't believe it. I mean, common sense is out the window. And the Supreme Court, there's only one Supreme Court, and that's God and his angels. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, I respectfully disagree with that, but the Supreme, but Gar, your points are so well made. And like you said, you know, if Joe Biden or if you and me couldn't get a job at McDonald's if we had done any of the things that Donald Trump is accused of or has been convicted of. You know, he's a convicted fraudster. He's been convicted twice of fraud, once in the university case and once in this, you know, tax and insurance case that Judge Engoron did. Nice. And Republicans are still like, oh, yeah, well, we'll still vote for the guy. It's insane. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your home for the Packers. 1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored